What is up, guys? Algorand prices are pumping, and of course, as soon as I say that, someone's gonna trash me. In fact, I put out a post that said HBAR is up 10%, and someone commented, LOL, 10%. Oh, here we go. Alex saying the Christmas rally you laughed at. Yeah, well, they're all going up. And Algorand did okay, HBAR did okay. But yeah, we have to compare things relatively. Right now, HBAR is in the top 10. Algorand was down around number 20 as far as coins pumping, which is still decent. But guess what? Here's the thing. Yeah, ha ha. Ha ha is my dollar cost averaging out will benefit from that. So take that, Alex. And by the way, you guys, when I made this video, it was pretty obvious that I said I was trimming my position. I didn't say I was going out of it entirely, but some of you didn't watch the actual video. So, or some of you didn't, some of you did, and you understood it, and you're the smart ones. But anyway, we are live on YouTube. I don't think YouTube vertical worked based on the little green orange dots I'm seeing. So I don't think I've got that figured out yet. We'll keep working on that, but I'm not sure. Not sure how to figure out that part. Jeffrey's saying mini rally for crypto is strange to see Bitcoin past 90K. Yeah, we're gonna take a look at all that. Just seeing a whole lot of green, and I saw a whole lot of green yesterday too. So I don't think we can really call it the Santa rally, really Christmas rally. We didn't really have a Christmas rally. It's more like a New Year's Day slash day after New Year's Day rally, I think. So I'm using a brand new setup here, and we are live on YouTube, on Kick, on Twitch, and on X, which is pretty cool. And we're going to be live on YouTube vertical as soon as I can get it figured out. I followed a guide online. The reason I want to do that is because I think the reach on YouTube vertical is astronomical, but I have to figure it out. And not seeing X, which is a little strange. Did I not have that? Should be working. I don't know why that isn't coming up. Let me go to my own profile here. Now that's weird because it worked before. Oh, it stopped already. Well, that's strange. I wonder if the other ones are working. Okay, let me figure that out. Think if I go like okay, hopefully that did it. Seems to have. Yeah, there we go. Now we're live on X as well as everything else. So let me just shout that out. So, a lot of cool things to talk about today, mostly around Algorand. And we will get to that. Let me just share this really quick. Hey, guys. Oops. Hey guys, there we go. All right, we're gonna share that. Kind of weird to see yourself typing in the video, but Alex says, "What are your thoughts on the Algorand partnership with Ferrari?" Yeah, I kind of shared this on X. I don't know if I think I talked about it when I covered it. I guess it's cool to have a partnership with like a brand like Ferrari, but I also think it seems more gimmicky than anything. Because it's just for like the top 100. I mean, I don't think it's really going to make that big of an impact on the chain. I just don't see how it would do that. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's some big. I guess it's entirely possible that there's some super awesome business that's owned by a Ferrari owner who is going to be using Algorand and then say, hey, you know what? We should adopt this Algorand technology. I kind of doubt it though. And that seems like a bit far-fetched. I mean, it's not impossible, but it seems like a pretty much a stretch in my opinion. So anyway, yeah, not a lot of housekeeping. I'm definitely feeling better. I've got some videos to watch today. In fact, two of our three segments will be video reactions today. Mostly because There's been a decent number of Algorand news, some positive, some not so positive. In fact, one of the things we'll talk about, Green Blue Algo says, how much are we paying Ferrari for this integration? Well, that's actually kind of a good question. I find it really odd. That's the thing I found out. I found about the World Chess thing that was really odd. I find it very odd that we have to, or I shouldn't say we, that the Algorand Foundation has to pay for that. Like, that seems crazy. I can see offering it for free, but to actually have to provide financial incentives to use something seems, I don't know, not great, in my opinion. Do you have any chats on other platforms? No, we don't. Well, the one thing about this that I can see is it doesn't look like it allows me to... chat back, necessarily, so... Which is fine, like, you know, fine normally, but sometimes there's those times when, you know, we're watching like a Spaces or something, and then it's easier for me to chat than it is to stop the stream every time. But, well, at least we got some good news. Why don't we look at that? And let's do that now. Here we go. Yeah, so you can see Bitcoin currently at 90,000 and a half, so to speak. Oh, by the way, guys, if you haven't hit the like and subscribe button already, please do so. It really helps the channel, especially hitting the like button. We'll share it to more people, get the stream out there, which it's been doing pretty well. The new platform I have, one thing I don't like, and maybe I just haven't found it yet, is I don't see a counter of, I can't see how many people are watching. So I have to kind of like keep my YouTube studio open, which is pretty resource intensive. Looks like a lot. Well, okay, not a huge number of viewers, but anyway. Anyway, back to this. Bitcoin sitting at 90,500. It's been going up since New Year's Eve, really, or New Year's Day, I think. Ethereum now at 3,100, which is nice to see. XRP going up, Solana going up, everything's going up. It's just a matter of actually, Zcash fell a little bit in the last 24 hours, as did Canton. So a lot of these ones that were pumping, that everyone was really excited about, those are the ones that are kind of dropping. Look at Shiba Inu. I have to check on my Shiba Inu because I have like a small moon bag of Shiba Inu that I don't even put in like any of my portfolios or anything. But, you know, it's not real. Just looking at which ones actually lost, Aster down a little bit. So a lot of these ones that were, usually are pumping, they're the ones that are falling back a little bit while everything else goes up. Although I don't know about Filecoin. We'll dive into what's doing the best. So we'll do that next. Tarun Kumar says, hi, what's up? What's going on? Good to have you here. All right. Who's done the best? PayPay. I saw this morning. It's still true. PayPay sitting at 31% on the 24-hour. You know, I gotta say, too, I had a comment this morning that was talking about how being 10% down was... being 10% up was like not a, they were like laughing at it. I'm like, 10%? You understand like the stock market, like a good year is like 15, 16% is like a really good year. Like we had, I think it closed at like 17% last year, the S&P 500. That's a really good year. And we're talking about 10% in one day. And people are like, oh, that's barely anything. Like your brains are warped, guys. You got to get out in the real world a little bit. You got some comments. Tarun saying, hi, what's up? What's up? Oh, we responded to that. Sorry. Green Blue Algo saying, I think silver will be interesting this month. Yeah. And people made fun of me on my gold play. And I've been doing that for, about 3 months now? About 3 months. And I'm up on it, doing pretty well. And I think it's going to continue because the government's going to keep printing money. So Bitcoin's going to keep going up eventually. So is gold and probably silver. We did have palladium drop a little bit, which is interesting. All the metals dropped a little bit, and that was just a DCA opportunity. But I'm just DCAing. You know, DCAing makes a big difference in terms of it kind of smooths out the risk, but also the reward in some ways, if that makes sense. Like Bitcoin, I don't DCA on a particular day. I just wait for drops. So that's my plan there. Jeffrey's saying, sort of outside the top of your channel, but do you think silver will continue to rally? It seems as though the CME group and the Fed are doing everything they can to keep the shorts safe. Well, entirely possible. You know, I try not to make predictions because I think most people just have no idea. I mean, I was looking at all the Bitcoin predictions for the end of 2025, and like none of them were even close. They were all like 150, 200, 250. Well, guess what? It's 87. It's not, making predictions doesn't matter. It's not important. It's a waste of time, to be honest. What makes a difference is having a plan for when it goes up and when it goes down. So if you get like extreme pumps, now a lot of people are still going to be underwater at these levels, I want to make it clear, but if you're up like 2-4x, you should be pulling some stuff off the table. That's the reason I didn't sweat this bear market, or you know, lack of a bull market, I guess you'd call it, because I was already de-risked. I was completely de-risked. Alex says, Bitcoin dominance dropping down a little with this pump. Too soon to get excited for a mini alt season, though. I agree with that. Well, I mean, I think we can get excited without... We can see it up here. Let me pull that. Let me just pull that for a second. Wait, I'm going to get rid of this. This is annoying. Just to show you this here, altcoin season sitting at 23. So like Bitcoin, still heavily Bitcoin. We can see that. And fear, we're still in fear territory too, by the way, and probably will for some time. So anyway, a lot of meme coins pumping, which is never too exciting. But we got Render, that's a real project. I don't know anything about Athena, Story IP. Got Ondo in number 11. These are all the double digit ups. Dogecoin, Cardano. That's good. Then we got Sui down here at 10%. It's almost just, 9%, just over 9%. That's still pretty good. Polygon going in the right direction, finally. I don't want to tell you how underwater I am on my Polygon. Hedera, still 8%, you know, still sitting just under 12 cents. And Immutable X, I mean, it's a real project, you know, we may or may not like it. You got some Solana stuff. Yeah, there's Algorand. Now, Algorand's down 25, but sitting at 12 and a half cents, so that's pretty nice. You know, my bag's up a little bit. Good to see. Even Chainlink sitting at 7% is pretty good. Now, what about the weekly? Let's take a look at the week. Who did really well weekly? And that was Canton, which is down a little bit in the 1 hour, 24 hour, but up 62% on the week. By Story IP, PayPay, Chili's. Just trying to look for anything that seems not like a meme coin, not really finding much other than Render. I don't know much about NYX Finance. Polkadot is up there. Got any Polkadot fans out there? I don't know. Immutable says, was a GME player for the old apes. You know, Immutable, they had a great game. They had a Magic the Gathering style game that was made by people who had worked on Magic the Gathering Arena, but it was Ethereum-based, and so when I was playing it, all of the elements that were crypto-based were basically shut off because the Ethereum gas fees were too high, and I'm like, why not put this on a chain that actually works? Well, the reason why is because of volume. So this is the play that, this is probably why Solana is doing so well, because it has people, and it also has... You know, it has network effects, and it has some degree of scale, usability, etc. Now, I know Solana has tons of problems, but I'm just saying that's probably why it is what it is. Yeah, we got Render. It is nice to see Shibu going up, but yeah, that's really, really the exciting ones. It's nice to see Sui turn around finally. Skull and Bones Anonymous says Sandbox is a sleeping giant, and Cleaned Out says there we go. I'm not sure what that's referring to, but you think Sandbox, huh? That's interesting. I haven't seen I didn't see anybody talking about Sandbox anymore. You know, remember when we do this, this is the top 100. So actually, what, you know, I never look at trending. Let me just take a quick look at trending here. I'm not sure what this is based on, to be honest. And we got, it's 24 hour, but then we got this one. It's, is it just the number of spots it's moved up, I guess? I don't know what that little rocket means. Most traded, is that what it is? Interesting. Yeah, I don't know that we're getting much useful out of this. Back to... Oh, they got prediction markets here. Did you know that? CoinMarketCap just added this. I know some are cut off, but I just wanted to show what this looks like. You know, they got total volume, active markets, etc. And I believe, yeah, okay, this is all Polymarket. Oh, what about gainers? Oh, this is what I was talking about. Here's some. So you can see all the like little coins that are popping off. There's a Labubu coin. Oh my gosh. So these are really, you know, these kind of coins, they're like a real real crapshoot. And if you just put a little bit in and you get a pump, I mean, you can try, you know, you can try to like do some sniping. The problem is a lot of the really good, there's a lot of like really good sophisticated snipers out there. So you probably won't get it, but yeah, it's interesting anyway. All right, I'm just going to like, just for a second, because I want to see how things are going. Yeah, so one thing I don't like about this new setup is it doesn't show, there's no place to show my viewer counts. It's kind of nice to know how many people are watching, you know? Looks like I got a pretty decent audience out there, so if you haven't hit the like button, please do so already. By the way, actually, you know what? We're going to get to that, so I'll save my little spiel for... excuse me. I'm trying to do that off camera. Is it going a little slow? What do you think? Eh, it's not too bad. Hold on. I'm going to take some tabs down. That'll help. Actually, I'm going to take this off, too. It's too much. Okay. Should be smoother now. Oh, yeah, that's way better. I can already see it. All right, let's get back to, this is Vestige, which is the, oh, no, we're using Haystack. Hold on, I forgot. I think it's this. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot we're using Haystack because they are the sponsor of the channel. So thank you, Haystack, and we got to move it a little bit. Let's do this one. Yeah, here we go. We'll move that over a little bit. And at the very top, they show Haystack, which is up 3% on the day, but not one of the best ones. Look at Akita Inu has been going up like crazy at 44%. And I believe that little power thing means they boosted it. Oh, yeah, it does. It does mean someone boosted it, so someone paid to boost it. But Akita Inu has been doing some like actual projects, and maybe we'll talk about that in the Algorand segment, but I think this is really interesting. So they're doing very cool stuff and popping up. One of the first interviews I ever did on Algorand was Akita Inu, so it's pretty interesting to see, but anyway, Haystack, sponsor of the channel. You can swap and trade on Algorand, doing it way easier than just about anything else. And you can check them out in the description below. They are big channel sponsor. And I do have to tell you, Marcus Furlius is no longer a sponsor due to some personal things, nothing to do with the channel or anything like that. I know a lot of people might make the connection to some of my recent videos, but that is not the case, as far as I know. And they will probably be back at some point, but just some stuff going on in the background. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about the details. That would be incredibly rude, but I still like them. I still think it's a cool project, so you should still check it out anyway. I do have it in my description because I forgot to take it out, but we won't be having them for now, so maybe we'll get a new one. I don't know. Yeah, so Alpha Arcade has been doing well again after popping down a little bit over 2 cents. If you guys have seen, I actually made a 6 month video on my 6 month experiment with Alpha Arcade. One of the better ones that I've done. I gotta tell you, it's probably one of the better ones I've ever used. The price has gone up, which is great, but that's not what I was testing. I was testing the USDC payments, which was pretty neat. So there's that. Let's see here. What else is interesting? Yeah, folks dropping below $4 now, so dropping even a little bit more. Tiny is up a little bit, but 10% down on the week, well below 1 cent now. This used to be trading between 2.5 and 5 cents, and lately it's basically worthless. So you can't give this. This is one principle I figured out in crypto, and a lot of people don't understand this. I think they're starting to though. If you want a coin to be successful, that coin cannot be the reward. If that coin is the reward, unless you have a really good burn mechanism, yeah, it's not going to go well. I knew this guy posting a short selling my algo video meant a short-term bottom. Well, you know, remember, I assume you watched it. I hope you watched it. I'm only DCAing out and trimming my position. So all this, I mean, I'm pretty much benefiting almost the same because it's 100 a week out and I'm gaining almost that much in staking rewards. So it's that my reduction is pretty minimal and it will take a very long time to reduce my position. So if we still get a altcoin rally, I am perfectly positioned for it. But anyway, Liquid Hog doing okay. Votecoin doing okay. And he got mad at me because of, I won't go into it. Go ETH doing all right. Well, you know, I mean, that's ETH, so. D-Algo, don't know much about that. Right on, says Walking Head Pro. Power, da-da-da-da-da, Busk. Oh, that's, yeah, by the way, Busk shouldn't even be on here. It doesn't deserve to be on. It's just a pretend project. Governance algo, G algo, basically. Let's try to look if there's anything else interesting. DeFi. DeFi is still around. There's old Coop. Oh, Coop, I can't. Oh, yeah, that's the lowest I can go, so you can't see Mercury. But yeah, Coop up 12% on the week. So what I like to see is you see a lot of green here. Well, for our for our Hedera fans, not Salt Sauce or Swap Explorer, Green Blue says Jaws need to be ready, implement Nillion and Algorand as an answer to Cardano's Midnight. Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. That's far beyond my technical capabilities, but that'd probably be a good idea. I think John would have... You know, a lot of people have said John should come back as CEO, and I will tell you, I can't tell you how I know, but I think he would. That's all I'm going to say. Meanwhile, just a reminder, we are live on not just YouTube, but we're live on Kick, on Twitch, and on X as well, thanks to Stream Elements, which is, I got to tell you, the Stream Elements is pretty slick, you know? I tried doing YouTube Live or vertical, and I can't get that to work. So hopefully at some point we'll figure that out. X is working, which is good. And we'll see how that's going in a minute. Yeah, 9% up for Hedera, which is nice. Sauce itself up 8.6%. Currently at about 2.3 cents. Now, I remember when this got to 8 to 10 cents, and I had a nice little bag of sauce at one point, I'll tell you. HBARX, 9%. Wrapped ETH and Bitcoin. Let's skip. Bonzo, 9%. Good for Bonzo. PAC at almost 10%. You know, I've been trying to get the PAC people to come on. I might have to reach out again, but now I'm not sure. The one thing about this new setup is I'm not sure how, or I will say it might be a little bit difficult. I'll have to do a little bit of digging. Well, Gib up 31, almost 32%. That's crazy. There's some people that I know this is like a, I think I follow the people that created this on X, I think. Yeah, pretty much everything is just looking like Algorand where everything is up. Now, the one thing I wish on this one, I do wish they had a double, I wish they had the 24-hour and the 7-day, but hey, I got to give it to SaucerSwap for putting this together under their new UI, which is good. It looks nice. It works well. I have an experiment I want to do. It's actually not on SaucerSwap, but there is one I want to do. Yeah, KBL Karate. There's one I heard of. Karate at 10%. This will go on and on, so we're not going to look at all of these. Well, you can even get the HTS version of Link. Yep, and we're kind of getting into ones I haven't heard of, so. Great news on the Hedera front. Yeah, pretty much everything is up. It's a good times, you know? It's nice to see, so. In the meantime, yeah, I do want to give a shout out to Haystack, because I'm a big fan. By the way, if you haven't subscribed already, I know we got a lot of new people here, so be sure to subscribe and hit the like button. It helps helps grow the channel, helps get it out to other people, which is always nice. Yeah, I've got like a bunch of stubs on here for from YouTube Vertical. I just don't think it's, yeah, it's just not working. That's too bad. Anyway, a lot of good stuff today. And by the way, so now that we got an audience here, I will be launching a podcast. So you'll be able to, if you miss the YouTube Live, you'll be able to watch it. You'll be able to actually listen on podcast. I don't know. We're gonna try it out. It's something I'm experimenting with. So I might decide it's not really working. We'll have to see how it goes, but we're going to try it out. It's going to be on all the podcast platforms, Spotify. Obviously, you'll still be able to watch here on YouTube, of course, plus Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and wherever else it goes. I don't even know. But I have to pay for it to do that, so we're going to try it out. We're going to see how it goes and probably give it like 6 months. And the cool thing is I'm actually going to cut out some of the spaces too, so it'll be a little, it'll flow a little better. Yeah, just something, another way to get distribution out there, and yeah, hoping it goes well. But anyway, back to the show. I've got a lot of good stuff for you. And like I said, we got our Algorand segment will be just Algorand. Doing okay on X. The other thing is my X has really been growing, like big time. So I'll probably be monetized on there pretty soon. I'm hoping that leads to even more cool stuff. I think we're going to start with Algorand. So, you know, I like to make these so they can be clippable. So just keep that in mind. And by the way, while we're setting this up, if you guys are on Kick or Twitch, leave us a comment because we just don't seem to get any comments there. And just let us know you're there. You know, we'll give you a little shout out, say hi, and you know, you don't have to worry about being outed too much. Some people said they get really mad when I drink coffee on stream, but whatever. I'll just go to the side when I do it. Okay. All right. So as you guys know, when I do this segments, you know, I don't respond to chat unless it's relevant to what we're talking about. And then I will, if it's something outside of what we're talking about, you know, so if it's a chain link comment and we're talking about Algorand, you know, I'll come back to that later. So, oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention a little, like, I should have just done one big housekeeping session, but we coffee sponsor. Yeah. Normally, actually, the funny thing you say that, Luke, and I appreciate you being here, by the way. Normally I'm actually drinking Lavazza, whose supply chain is actually minted on Algorand, but I'm out of Lavazza and I have Ruby Coffee from Amherst, Wisconsin, which is some darn fine coffee. Let me tell you, some of the best I've, some of my favorite, and it's different, has a different consistency. It's more like wine. So, but anyway, the other piece of sponsorship, or the other piece of housekeeping I wanted to say is we are going live twice a week now. So we are going to be live Tuesday at this time and on Friday. So twice a week, and then we'll be clipping videos for the rest of the week. Plus our subscriber only, or sorry, our channel, what do they call that? Channel member only videos once a week, where you get to see inside of my, you know, what I'm doing with crypto, how my portfolio is going, and my various experiments, how they're going week to week. That is exclusively for channel members, only $4 a month. Or you can get videos before anyone else for $1. So two different levels there. You can check that out in the description in the meantime. By the way, if you do that during the stream, I'll shout it out because it'll pop up. I hope it'll pop up on my thing. If it doesn't, let me know and I'll give you a shout out. So anyway, here's our Algorand segment. So one of the more interesting projects that showed up on Algorand last year was Nyla AI. I actually had the founder on to talk about this project just recently, but then some people brought it to my attention and it looked like they actually ditched Algorand. Is that true? Well, we dove in and we took a look, and this is what we found. Okay, so this is what popped up. Hey guys, someone in the community alerted me that Nyla doesn't seem to support Algorand anymore. I went to the Nyla website, and indeed, only a Solana option appears. Not sure what's going on. I reached out to the dev, and I haven't heard back yet. We'll update when I do. So obviously, a lot of people were worried leaving Algorand means Nyla is dying. I don't think there will be a reaction. Nyla quietly drew her support. Could it be that Nyla is dying? Sold all my Nyla. Hopefully it's just some sort of mix-up. Says Balsack, or Balsackus Maximus. some responses in this thread as well. Because Algorand is lifeless with a clown CEO. Someday you will figure it out. Minnesota. This is what happens when you're a maxi. But you know, there's stuff I don't like about Algorand, that's for sure. And we've talked about it. We've talked about it. Algoprint.algo says, drunk idiot spouting off that he knows how to use AI in a Twitter space. LOL, like he's some sort of artist. Never trusted any of those clowns for one second. I don't know what that means. Classic. Well, so we go to the bottom of it. So basically, now there's some doubt about this. By the way, for people that don't know, basically this is an AI agent where you can make trades on X or Instagram. I think you can do it in the website as well. But the idea is like to be as hands-off as possible. My one issue with this, however, is that it's not as easy as it would claim, because like one thing, they don't really give you a list of commands, so it's kind of hard to know how to actually use it. That's one of the things I found a bit confusing about this. But what we found is that, just heard from the dev that the website doesn't support Algo, but X, IG, and mobile app does. Well, now I've been hearing from some people that the mobile app actually doesn't show an Algorand wallet, because you used to be able to see it when you went to the website. You could see the Algorand wallet, and now you might not be able to. So, and now it looks like it's not in the mobile app either. Jeffrey says Shax.Nihilus said he would restore Algorand wallets for existing users, but not offer it to new users. Yeah, and I had a little conversation with him in chat, so I try not to like share that too much, other than being very factual. But I think there's a concern about having confusion with the two different wallets being in there. And, you know, you can make of that what it is. I think if you're going to be on the platform, why not fully embrace the platform? But so it's, I don't want to say it's a nothing burger, because I think there's definitely been a shift towards wanting to have this be more Solana than anything. But it definitely was worth reporting. And as you can see, it got quite a reaction on X. So people were paying attention to it. People did actually care about it. That's one piece of news we have. And I thought it was worth pointing out. I don't have a ton. Some people, Jeffrey probably were the one, but some people sent me some Aura. So I have some Aura on there, and like, I think there's a couple ball sacks or something like that, whatever. So yeah, this is my life now, by the way. So I thought I'd clear that up because I thought that was an interesting piece of news. Got some news on the location, kind of, not really. So this stemmed from a Folks Finance post about saying 2026 will be massive, folks. MJ says cheers, yada, yada. The important thing here is that Stacy Warden says, hi, the location doesn't matter so much. Oh, here, let's read the original comment. Any announcement on the U.S. location? I remember you posted maybe January 1st an update on that. And so what this stems from is that the Algorand Foundation announced that they would be moving to the U.S. A lot of people wonder where that would be. And what Stacy's response here is like, hi, the location doesn't matter so much. And they mean the physical location. As we are fully distributed, we'll be incorporated in Delaware. We'll make BOD, Board of Director announcements, etc. in January at CFC. I'm not sure what that one is. I hope and rollout strategy and tech roadmap updates on back of that. So some people were reacting to this saying Delaware would be a really bad idea. As you can recall, they're the state that whose judge actually denied Elon his incentive package, which he earned, which I thought was really strange. Like, if the board approved the package, how can a judge come and order it to not be approved? It just doesn't make sense to me. To me, if like the board's decision should be final unless they've violated some law, which I didn't see any evidence that they had. In fact, crypto.todd said Delaware is one of the worst states to be based. Many businesses are moving their headquarters from that state. Please reconsider another state and look into problems others have already encountered. Actually, I don't know why they wouldn't go to Wyoming, which seems to have some of the most crypto-friendly laws around. I think that's a little strange, but, you know, what do I know? Pedro Sora is saying, is Jaws coming back as CEO? Not yet, but I can tell you that if that were a possibility, I think Jaws would be very interested. And I think the community would be really, really happy to see that for sure. Green Blue Algo says, I want to just use my NFT domain, and I want an option to make my NFT permanent. Yeah, that's something we'll cover too today. We'll get to that, Green Blue. And Green Blue responding to Pedro says, trying to figure out how code an AI buy bot to buy algo if that happened. That's a good point. Let me make sure I saved something because I don't know if I did. So Algorand says 2025 was a big year for impact at Algorand. We set out with a vision to reimagine how cash assistance works. Our mantra, we go where money isn't working. And here's our latest blog from the head of impact, Matt Keller. Can we see this? No. We'll switch to this one. There we go. 2025 on Algorand reimagining aid delivery with Algorand blockchain. So let's see what they talked about. Afghanistan scaling what works. Our work with AsadPay reached new heights in Afghanistan in 2025. What began as a bold experiment is now a nationwide success story. More than 1 million people have received life-saving assistance through AsadPay in 2025, including cash support from the UN World Food Program, United States Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, and the World Bank. I thought more interesting was that, you know, that people pay their utilities, that hundreds of thousands of Afghans are using it to pay electricity bills, a use case that provides digital wallets aren't just for, I'm sorry, that proves digital wallets aren't just for emergencies. Yeah, I think that's fair. That stuff I'm a little more excited about. Taliban crypto. Jeez. Okay. Well, you know, actually, it's funny you say that because HesabPay is actually helping people move this down a little bit. HesabPay is actually helping people navigate around some of these. Like women are able to go actually pay electricity bills on here, where they might not be able to through traditional means because of the Taliban. I wonder if I'll get banned for saying the Taliban or demonetized or something. I don't know. Also, Syria apparently collaborated closely with Mercy Corps and Syrian NGO and social enterprise Pioneers Innovation for Sustainability Impact. And they're using HesabPay. Okay, so HesabPay is expanded to Syria and being used. And then Humanitarian Aid Payments Council in Berlin. In Berlin, we convened the humanitarian... I don't care about that. I'll be honest, like, just the fact that you, like, had a meeting, I don't care about meetings. That's not exciting. Blockchain Academy. Something about Paycode. It was offline first biometric technologies used by over 6 million people across Afghanistan, Ghana, Zambia, Mozambique, Sudan, and NRC. Apparently it helped reach the M-Bank, but I don't know. Some of this stuff is like so vague, you know? That's what really frustrates me in crypto in general is like some of the stuff is so vague. Like, I don't know what this actually did. And finally, there's the Aid Trust portal. This platform allows any organization, a government, NGO, or a donor to trace every single dollar of aid from sender to recipient in real time. Well, that's good, you know, considering what we got going on in Minnesota right now. Maybe they should offer that to the U.S. government so we can track some of these payments, make sure they're not going to fraud. I think, listen, you know, and the fraud thing, like that should be bipartisan, because if you're someone who believes government should be helping people and should be effective, you should want to weed out the fraud. So like money is going to people who actually need it. Like, it's not that hard to understand. Like, I don't really get who could be like pro fraud. It doesn't make sense to me. So apparently more scaling. That's great. I don't know. Is that exciting? I didn't think that was exciting as some other things, but that's just me. Green Blue says Algorand should be based in New England, Boston, New York, D.C., be near where people that write policy. Wyoming is nowhere, and I grew up in Montana. Yeah, here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter, because you just saw what she said. The physical location doesn't actually matter because they're spread out anyway. So they can have a person in New York, right? They don't need their physical offices anywhere. They can put it wherever they want, really. It's where they're incorporated that matters. So I think they could incorporate in Wyoming, but they could have people on the ground in New York or DC or whatever, you know? All right, what else have we got? I thought this one was interesting. Algorand ranks fifth among all cryptocurrencies by number of addresses holding a balance. So, first off, let's just look. Yeah, so can I make this big without it? Yeah, you're not going to be able to see that. You can kind of see it here. I'm even going to move it. That's too hard. We'll just do this. So we got Ethereum at 1.69.8 million. We got Tether at 82.23 million. Bitcoin at 55. Bitcoin Cash at 22. And then USDC. But like, how do you even? It's weird because USDC doesn't necessarily have its own wallets, unless I'm not understanding that correctly. So I find that hard to believe because there's USDC on PayPal, there's USDC on Algorand, there's USDC on Hedera, you know, I think on XRP. Well, I don't know, but no, XRP has its own. in Ethereum. I think there's USDC on Ethereum, unless I'm wrong about that. So I don't know about that. That seems suspect. But also, like, Algorand has a mechanism where a lot of wallets get automatically created, and they will have a small balance. So they say active, but they say number of addresses holding a balance. So I see two different things here, and I'm not sure how to make that out. Let's see what people said. Most people are talking. No one's really being skeptical. I'm a little skeptical of this. I don't know. This is where I get messed up, because there's some accounts on X and others, and they're smart people, but they think every metric is fake. And if you just think every metric is fake, well, how do we even evaluate this stuff? I do think we should be skeptical of some of these things and think through, well, if this is true, how would that be true? And kind of work backwards to think about how we get there. Does that make sense? Anyway, that's just my thought on it. I think when you're Algorand, though, you take whatever you can get. If you can get something that looks positive, what the heck? I thought this one was kind of interesting, too. And this one comes out of this comment from Top 10 DGen. Dad Algo said, yeah, you know what would be cool if Algorand Foundation would support Alpha Arcade, a potential game changer given the hype around prediction markets? Imagine instead of dumping money into some corny Algoland campaign, market, the foundation uses marketing genius and promoted something that would actually bring retail from outside the ecosystem. Strange concept, huh? Well, there's actually a pretty good comeback to this. And the comeback is Alpha Arcade itself saying, just to set the record straight, Algorand Foundation has been supportive, very supportive since the beginning. We worked directly with Mikkel, who have I worked with as well, and others on giveaways, KOLs, Algoland, which has was a huge catalyst for us. It's what helped us get to 1 million plus monthly volume and basically doubled our daily active users. All right, you know, and that's interesting because I had been a little skeptical of Algoland. I just found it kind of uninteresting to use myself, but people seem to like it. So it seemed to have a big impact if they got to, it basically doubled their daily active users. That's pretty good. Now keep in mind, up to this point, our product has only been usable for Algorand users because the only way to make predictions was through Para. Nobody downloads a new wallet just to try a platform. Relatively true. I mean, I've definitely wanted to try something out, and it sparked me to get a wallet on that platform. So I can't say that's entirely true, but I get it. You have to have some, you're probably going to have some interest in that chain already to do that. So I guess that's a fair point. Anyway, so there was no point trying to onboard non-Algorand users yet, which is obviously 99% plus of our TAM. TAM is total addressable market. So that's a metric you will use when you're trying to figure out, hey, do I have like an actual market to sell to? Like, if I made a product, you know, as an example, if I made a product to make that was specifically targeted towards Elon Musk, then my TAM would be one, it'd be Elon, you know, or if it was to billionaires, well, there's only so many billionaires. So that would be my total addressable market. So you use that when you think about, you know, if I were to think about my own channel, like how many Algorand people interested in Algorand are there? And then that would be my TAM. Or if I expand out to Hedera and Chainlink, I'm growing my TAM, right? Now that we're launching Apple Pay, credit card, and multi-chain predictions, we're finally able to go after the masses. We've been lining up campaigns with Algorand Foundation to target everyone. This is when things will really be taken to the next level. So keep an eye out. You Alpha Arcade holders it's probably going to do pretty well once that happens, I imagine. I'm hoping so. I just want to see if they said anything about that. We did get the holiday airdrop. It was pretty nice, but I got to say, overall, the month was lower than the last month, which makes me a little bit nervous. Otherwise, yeah, I'm not really seeing anything about the expansion yet, but something definitely to keep an eye on. I think that's all. Well, here, and then Jerry said, Jerry Chu, who unfollowed me after some critical stuff about Lofty AI. Yeah, it happens. People get mad, whatever. He says, yes, and a lot of different companies within the ecosystem talk to each other too and help when it makes sense. So who's running Alpha Arcade? Because Alpha Arcade likes me. Like, I actually have the Alpha Arcade badge. However, Jerry Chu, not a huge fan of Frugal BC. So I don't know. There might be another person running Alpha Arcade. It's the same company, but maybe he's less involved. I'm not sure. I've been working on getting the Alpha ASA multi-chain compatible to help with the folks team. They're like, you know, they're the guys who are doing the interoperability stuff for sure. They set up a TG chat so our devs can just ask them questions about docs and anything else that comes up as we take advantage of the NTT integration. These all happen behind the scenes, and most people involved don't talk about it until post-launch or at all. It's just a normal part of business. Not everything is or needs to be announced. And I think that's pretty spot on. But, you know, to make this comment in the first place, you're assuming that the foundation hasn't been helping them. And it makes a lot of sense, because why would they promote it to the broader public just to try to like convince people to get an Algorand wallet, which probably isn't going to happen. I think that's pretty true, especially for people who are non-crypto in the first place. You know, I can see people, if they already got like 3 or 4 crypto wallets, they might be like, I can try this Algorand one too, you know? Okay. I think that's all the Algorand. Oh, Greenblue says we need an Algorand-based solution for all of the gambling addicts we're going to see in 3 or 5 years. Well, I think Alpha Arcade is that solution. Did I talk about this already? Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, I think I already talked about this. But I think this is a cool thing. Announcing a key to subscriptions platform beta. On-chain recurring payments are now seamless. With a few clicks, you can subscribe to any address or even create your own various service offerings. Try it now. That's pretty neat. We're going to have to play around with this. The Compex team, I think, also made one, like an invoicing system. And I've been thinking about using this for my sponsors. One, because it'll be a lot easier for me. But two, I like the idea of doing it on-chain, but the subscriptions thing seems really cool. So anyway, that's that. I wanted to just shout this out because I think Akita has been doing... This is like one of the original meme coins on Algorand, and I think they're doing something really cool, and they're starting to kind of dive into like real-world projects versus just being a meme coin, which is pretty neat. They were supporting like... animal rescue. And I remember one of the first interviews we ever had on the channel was with someone from Akita, who is no longer with them. I think he was a community manager for a while. So anyway, neat stuff. That is all our Algorand for this week. I appreciate you tuning in. We got more segments coming up. I got kind of a quiet chat, I gotta say, but that's okay. It's fun, you know, it is nice to see things going in the right direction right now. That's really cool to see. Looks like I got a decent number of viewers, and I appreciate everyone being here. Like I said, and I say this a few times, so please forgive me if you've heard it for like the 10th time. For some of you who've been watching the entire time, but if you haven't already hit the like button, I appreciate you doing so. It helps the channel a lot. And also, besides the like button, you can subscribe, and that's always fun too. Nice little number of likes. I appreciate that, guys. It helps a lot. So far, 100%. I didn't get any downvotes yet, but I know sometimes people do. It's okay. Getting the fist of support from Jeffrey. Appreciate that. Frank Anthony said, "Did you talk about HBAR yet?" Actually, no. I think we're about to do our HBAR segment, and we're gonna. we're going to be reacting. There's not been a ton of news so far. Not been a ton of news on HBAR over the break, which is interesting. Some of you guys know I was sick over Christmas, which kind of sucked. But I'm better now. Still got a little junk, you know, in the morning it's got to get rid of. There's a video from our good friends of the channel, Genfinity, and, you know, I think we're going to watch some of it. I don't want to watch the whole thing. I'll direct you to the rest. And unfortunately, I can't put it in the chat, which kind of sucks. One thing I do like, though, is it looks just like, I can even see the top fans. We got Alex and Green Blue tied for top fan. They currently are giving it to Alex, but you both have 75 experience points. So, guys, keep chatting. You might be able to get the top. Well, why don't we watch this? Let me set up this video. Yeah, we'll just watch it in here. So, because we don't really have a lot of... Wait, is this? Actually, this is Grayscale, so this isn't Hedera. Oh, I might have screwed that up. How about now, says Green Blue. They still got you at number two, man. Well, actually, I do have a Hedera segment. I'll just have to do it a little bit differently. All right, so a lot of you guys watch live with me while we watch the Hedera wrap-up. And for those that didn't, Hedera put together a nice wrap-up of their 2025, which I think they did a wonderful job on. And I think Hedera's had a really great 2025 this year. So we're gonna dive into this in our next segment and just talk about some of the wins that Hedera had. Because I think especially in terms of enterprise adoption, Hedera crushed it. So this is the post they shared. Happy holidays from Hedera. As 2025 comes to a close, it's time to unwrap Hedera's biggest moments from the past 12 months. Big thanks to the Hedera community, builders, partners, and council members for an unforgettable 2025. This year brought major momentum across tokenization, trust, and real-world adoption. Also, be sure to check out the brand new Hedera.com that just dropped and read the 2025 wrap-up blog, and that is what we are going to do. Make that a little bit bigger. If recent years were about proving that public DLTs could handle real business workloads, 2025 proved something pretty significant. Hedera is the trust layer that institutions trust. Okay, I'm going to put the trust in there twice, but it seems to be the case. And the reason I think that's the case is because I really think having these major companies, these Fortune 500 companies, Google, IBM, LG, all these, like, I think all of them are Fortune 500, but these big trusted brands involved in Hedera, I think really help people overcome the crypto-ness of it, if that makes sense. I know it's a hash graph, not a chain, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. I got to do this every time because people get mad. Well, let's see some of the stuff I'm going to skip through some of this. It said 2025 was the moment that the training wheels started to come off. Now, this I thought was pretty good. In June, in Washington, D.C., Hedera leaders joined policymakers, the Atlantic Council, and others on Capitol Hill to discuss CBDCs, responsible AI, and blockchain use cases, capped by the Sipson Standards reception at the Smithsonian, co-hosted with the GBBC. I think that was really great for them to be in the room. They talk about Hedera Paris Blockchain Week. More importantly, I think tokenization stopped being a pitch. That includes a UK-first tokenized units of money market fund and UK gilts issued on Hedera via Archax, were used as collateral in FX trades between Lloyds Banking Group and Aberdeen. Same regulations, same institutions, and new rails. Also, the Canary HBAR ETF began trading. And they're not talking about it, but this was huge. Like, way more money poured into this ETF than I expected. I was actually really surprised. The Australian Digital Dollar launched on Hedera using Stablecoin Studio. KIO expanded on-chain access to offer alternative funds. Swarm brought compliant tokenized stocks like Apple and Tesla, as well as tokenized gold to Hedera. So good to see that. Hedera's Asset Tokenization Studio, support alongside ERC 1400, strengthened its role as an end-to-end platform for regulated digital assets and was named one of Global Finance Magazine's top financial innovations in North America in 2025. StegEx began tokenizing over $100 million in institutional real estate on Hedera using Zonix jurisdiction-aware DICIST. Well, there's a lot of jargon in here. Embedding KYC, AML, end-of-life life cycle logic directly to tokens. Hedera Foundation invested in Archax's tokenized representation of Fidelity's international USD MMF on Hedera. There's a lot of stuff on here. This is like going to be our main video here today. Hybrid networks and Hashsphere, the future is not public or private, it is both. Enterprises want the transparency and finality of a public network, but regulators and risk teams still require transaction privacy and jurisdictional control. So Hashsphere bridges that gap. Very, very interesting, because I think that's 100% true. You know, this is what Silvio talked about when he was talking about Algorand, you know? This is what he was talking about. It's like they don't just entirely want, I think there's definitely some use cases for the public transparency of blockchain and finality, but also like they need to keep some stuff private too. So here's a couple of the things. Project Acacia, led by the Reserve Bank of Australia and DFCRC, Australian Payments Plus explores wholesale CBDC issuance and interoperability between Hedera and Hashsphere. And a digital receipt system, proof of concept with the Qatar Financial Center, all those guys, Google Cloud, etc., Blade Labs, Al Ryan Bank, using Hashsphere for Sharia-compliant asset-backed finance. Yay. AI, too, huge. Launch of the AI Studio. See, I think that's great. If you're going to, like, signal, if you're going to, like, really steer into AI agents, which I think you should, I think that's going to be the future of Hedera and Algorand both. I think those are perfect use cases for those two. I say chains, I know it's a dash DLT, you know what I'm saying. I think launching a studio says, yeah, we're serious about this. Just like they have the Stablecoin Studio, they just tend to launch studios when they signal this is a use case for Hedera, which I like. They joined the Decentralized AI Society, cool. Equity Lab launched a verifiable compute platform on NVIDIA Blackwell in collaboration with NVIDIA, Scan UK, Accenture Public Sector, and Hedera. I just think this is one of the hugest things, really. And the first AI-powered polymarket Telegram bot built natively for Hedera ecosystem, Victor AI, launched, making prediction markets feel as effortless as sending a message. Yeah, we got some new council members like Repsol, Blockchain for Energy, and Arrow Electronics, which I actually hadn't heard of. Well, I actually hadn't heard of any of them, let's be honest. Lots of builder tooling, contract builder, developer playground, plus the AI studio, don't forget that. They had a bunch of hackathons. I really think the biggest deal is, well, and then we got some here too, the Wyoming Frontier Stable Token selected Hedera as a blockchain candidate for the United States' first state-issued stable token. That's pretty big. Plus, Bank of England, a BIS Innovation Hub DLT challenge. Hedera was only one of two chosen to explore the future of money. Georgia Ministry of Justice MOU, exploring the migrating the real National Real Estate Registry to Hedera. It's like an entire country using Hedera. That's a pretty big deal. Hedera joined the Digital Chamber State Network. Project Acacia in Australia. Yeah, like I said, there's just a ton of stuff. It's really good to see. So hopefully we will see big things in 2026 as well. But that is a huge part of news for Hedera. And I think that's pretty much our Hedera segment. There's like a lot of stuff that happened. And, you know, the news has been a little quiet over the last couple of weeks, but that's pretty big. So thanks for tuning in to our Hedera segment. Green Blue saying Algorand's wheels came off in 2025 too. Yeah, it seemed to be kind of the sentiment there, wasn't it? Alex asking what the crowns mean next to the comments. Well, yeah, first off, I want to say Hedera definitely didn't have the wheels falling off. Lots of very positive news for Hedera. So if you're a Hedera fan, we had a very good 2025. I think, you know, the price went up too. It's not for, well, it technically happened in 2024, but, you know, it's still maintained over, you know, at least my buying period maintained about 3x generally, 2 to 3x generally speaking up, which is, you know, can't complain about that too much. The crowns are, I don't exactly know, it's like a top fan thing, but I don't really know how it's calculated. But now it has Alex at 100 XP, so true holder. I'm not really sure how that works. I know like super chats and stuff count as well. As far as like how that actually works, I'm not 100% sure. Okay, well, I got a video to watch and that is probably going to be it for us, but liking the enthusiasm we're getting today. That's really nice to see. And let me okay, let me find that video. I think it's in our Chainlink one. Let's see if I go. We'll watch it like this. Let me just get some water and then we'll start our Chainlink segment, which is basically going to be us watching a video. It's going to sound like a really dumb thing to complain about, but I hate that my wall razor comes with a half an inch guide and a 2 inch guide. And I would love a 1 inch guide. You can actually buy it. In fact, I'll probably order it soon, but it's a little bit frustrating. Cause like I don't like it when my beard is this short, but I don't like it when it gets really shaggy either. Like I don't like it like this guy has. Well, you'll see it in a second. Let me see. Okay, so we just did a look back at Hedera, but what about looking forward for Chainlink? We've got Sergey Nazarov, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Nazarov, talking about the upcoming future of Chainlink for 2026. I think it's a video that we definitely should check out, so let me set this up and let's go.
The Chainlink ecosystem can be the global standard, not only for DeFi, but also for TradFi. It's now time to take our industry to the next stage of its growth, development, and what it means for society as a whole. Our industry began with Bitcoin, which grew out of the satisfaction with the current financial system. I think now, after well over 15 years of technology development, our industry has now reached the point where it can deliver on the rebuilding of the entire global financial system, because all of the building blocks to rebuild the financial system are there, and to rebuild it into a new global financial system that is more transparent, more fair, and always globally connected. I don't think that a financial system that's not globally connected can really work. And the new global financial system is something that will be inherently globally connected, and even more so than the current one.
By the way, if I haven't said it already, I love how Chainlink operates. I love that it has both on-chain and off-chain solutions for businesses and actually has revenue coming in. And then what they're doing is taking that revenue and putting it on-chain, which I think is great. You know, instead of like the Algorand Foundation selling their assets to basically fund operations, these guys are actually taking profits and putting them on-chain, which I think is a really great solution. And I feel like Chainlink actually has a solution to a real-world problem, because so much in crypto always seems like it's like a solution in search of a problem. Doesn't seem to be the case with Chainlink, which I appreciate.
Which is a very powerful force, because that determines how the capital can flow into your issuance or your token or your system on the new global financial system. At the end of the day, I think we have reached a critical point in the development of both our industry and the Chainlink ecosystem to make this new global financial system. The legal requirements to make it are finally falling into place, with stablecoin legislation being put into law this year, and now rulemaking starting to take place and rules starting to come out from that legislation, as well as us being able to tokenize equities, funds, commodities, and the whole global financial system with the now upcoming market structure legislation, which is set to come in the first half of this coming year. I personally feel that 2025 will be looked on as the year where our industry took on a completely different trajectory. It's because the legitimacy of our industry has changed from being something about highly speculative cryptocurrencies, NFTs, and meme coins to being about the future of the global financial system. In my work on Chainlink, I've been lucky enough to work with the largest financial institutions, the most senior leaders in those institutions, the most senior leaders in the largest infrastructures, such as SWIFT, DTCC, and others. And I've had the opportunity to really see the level of adoption that our industry is now seeing from these groups. I think what people don't understand is just how serious that level of adoption is, because we've all heard it so many times before that crypto is going to go mainstream, institutions are going to adopt it, all of that's going to happen. The thing that has massively changed now is that the regulatory environment that these institutions depend on to tell them what is right and wrong, and the government, which is what determines the regulatory environment, have all shifted completely towards our industry.
I think that's a really important point. And I think it's been downplayed because sometimes, well, one, the price, which is makes everyone's like, oh, let's have more great news so the price can go even lower. Like, that seems to be the case of how it's been playing out. But the other thing is, I think people have underplayed this because it hasn't happened quite as fast as I think a lot of us thought. I still think there's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines, especially like at some of these financial institutions, and they're just waiting for that extra piece of regulatory clarity, which should come from the Clarity Act. I mean, the Genius Act was a nice step, really wonderful for stablecoin legislations. And the big banks are fighting that, by the way, because of course they are, because they don't want, you know, they want you to be happy with your little 0.2% that they give you for holding money in your bank account, instead of like this, you know, 5-7% you'll earn from yield from stablecoins. So I don't know. They're going to keep fighting that. They're not going to like that. It did kind of an end round, because they said yield was illegal, but not rewards. So they just framed it as rewards. That was a nice little, honestly, well-played crypto legislation, people. But anyway, yeah, I totally agree with what he's saying.
Now, this shift has taken form in legislation already for stablecoins, and we've seen a massive influx in stablecoin creation, value, issuance, and I think we're going to see even more in the coming year. Right now, there's a bill under deep consideration that we in the Chainlink community have given a lot of feedback on, and that I and other key people in the Chainlink community are deeply involved in helping guide. That bill, I think, will create a next stage for the global financial system as a whole by allowing the tokenization of everything other than cash. This new legal foundation opens up the possibility for traditional finance to adopt what they're calling tokenization, but what we all know is basically them adopting on-chain finance. On-chain finance is something that the decentralized finance community pioneered and that Chainlink helped pioneer together with this amazing group, going from a less than $100 million market to an over $100 billion market in less than 5 years. That is the type of growth that I haven't seen in any other industry. And it's something that really speaks to the true potential of this technology. I still think, though, that $100 billion is low and that decentralized finance is going to grow into the trillions. And Chainlink currently powers approximately 70% of all decentralized finance globally and over 80% on top chains like Ethereum and others. I think that Chainlink powers this new global financial system that has started with decentralized finance because it's the most reliable, most provably secure, most robust system providing the most data, the most connections, the most identity, the most of everything necessary to make the new global financial system work. Now what we're starting to see is that the traditional finance community that has hundreds of trillions of dollars under their care start to realize that the blockchain-based, Oracle-based way, smart contract-based way of transaction, of doing issuance, of doing things like tokenization is superior.
And that's just... that's just traditional finance. But remember stuff like agent AI payments. Like when you have AI agents going out and doing real world things, those payments are going to have to happen like that. So they're not going to you're just not going to be able to operate those on traditional bank rails. It's just not fast enough. You can't wait 2 days to have a thing settle when you're dealing with AI agents that are going to be making these little micropayments back and forth all day. You gotta have it quick, and only crypto will offer that speed. So that's even another layer on top of this that you need to think about.
It is now a foregone conclusion in the traditional finance community. I know because I've spent a lot of time there over the years, in addition to helping build a DeFi community together with everyone in the Chainlink ecosystem. The traditional finance community going on chain and doing what they call digital assets and what we're going to hear more about in the form of tokenization is going to fundamentally change our industry through the sheer amount of capital that it's going to put on chain. When the cryptocurrency part of our industry is worth $5 trillion and the tokenization real-world asset part of our industry is worth $5 trillion, our industry, by definition, will equally be about both things. If the tokenization trend then continues to go to 6, 7, or more trillion, and the cryptocurrency trend also grows, but not as much, then our industry could be more about tokenization, just like the internet was initially about email as its predominant use case. But then as other capabilities of the internet started to go live and started to get adopted by society, the internet became about much more than email. And email was just the initial use case that gave rise to the internet's use, similarly to how cryptocurrencies and NFTs and meme coins are the initial use case of blockchain technology and Oracle networks and smart contracts. We're in a really unique time for our industry. I think we're in a place where we really have the opportunity to now really influence the development of the global financial system. Decentralized finance being so secure and reliable, being able to secure so much value over such an extended period, the ability for the Chainlink system to process and enable over $27 trillion US dollars in transaction value is something that I think has proven that these systems can be relied upon for trillions of dollars in value. Now what we need to do as an industry and as the Chainlink community is take things to the next level. We need to provide the data, the connectivity, the identity, the compliance, and eventually the orchestration of all those things across thousands of chains in a highly reliable, highly scalable way, which complies and which works for how society wants the financial system to work. This is going to also grow the cryptocurrency industry. It's going to put a lot more capital on chain. It's going to expose a lot more people to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So it'll be amazingly beneficial for those communities. I think it'll be beneficial for society and the traditional finance community that has been looking for a way to have less systemic financial risk, to be more transparent and fair, and to have 24/7, 365 markets that are reliable and can manage counterparty risk better. And fundamentally, it'll also benefit society because society's tendency to pay for financial system mistakes, systemic financial risk, fraud, counterparty risk that was improperly managed is not something that society or regulators want to do. So this is really a benefit to everybody involved. And it's something that I feel very lucky to be a part of. And I think that our community is going to do a great job this coming year in 2026 at making it a reality for both growing the DeFi community into the trillions of dollars that it's meant to be over the coming years and enabling the TradFi community to make digital assets that are filled with reliable data, connected to all the capital on all the chains, compliant with identity requirements, compliant with compliance requirements, and able to be orchestrated efficiently across the existing set of systems in the current financial system, as well as the new set of systems on chains. This is a very exciting time, I think, for our industry and for the Chainlink ecosystem. I'm extremely grateful to everybody who did such a great job over the previous year. I think we achieved a lot. I think we helped set a really good foundation for our industry in Washington with stablecoins. We released the Chainlink runtime environment as the next stage of Chainlink's growth and as the orchestration layer for this new global financial system. I think that CRE is really going to be a big change in how smart contracts are built. I think it's something that really simplifies the use of multiple chains at once, the use of multiple data sources, the use of multiple backend systems into a single unified workflow, into a single unified piece of code running in the CRE. And I think it'll have the same effect on institutional smart contract growth that the EVM had on public blockchain smart contract growth. Just to be clear, the CRE also feeds and adds more and more usage to blockchains. So the EVM, Ethereum, Solana, all these different chains will actually receive more usage through CRE adoption because the usage of the chain will be simplified. The usage of the chain for institutional purposes like derivatives, equity, funds, commodities will be simplified. And so there will be actually more usage on chains, much more, as a result of these institutional smart contracts actually being able to function properly and meet all of their requirements.
Yeah, the usability part is definitely getting better, but it's always been one of crypto's biggest bugaboos, is that it's just, especially for newcomers, it's just Byzantine. You know, it can be so confusing. And even I get like kind of weirded out sometimes on some of this stuff. So definitely appreciate what he's saying there.
Identity, sure. Institutional data, as well as connectivity to all the different chain environments from which users and value can flow to and from them. I think the growth of the CCIP cross-chain interoperability protocol is only continuing with its adoption by top teams like Coinbase and Galaxy and others as their chosen cross-chain system. I think we're continuing to see a massive amount of growth in the adoption of the Chainlink standard in the traditional finance community. And I think we've seen the solidification of the Chainlink standard for data, connectivity, identity compliance, and various other key factors that and tools that DeFi needs. And that level of adoption has remained consistent because the security and reliability guarantees of Chainlink have remained consistent. So I think we're in for a really exciting 2026. I think 2025 is a job well done for our industry as a whole and for the Chainlink community. I'm very excited about the coming year and looking forward to working with all of you on making it a big success for changing what our industry is about, taking it all to the next level. And I think if we do the right things in this coming year, then the Chainlink ecosystem can be the global standard, not only for DeFi, but also for TradFi. And then in the coming years, we'll have an exciting challenge of joining the DeFi industry and the TradFi industry into a single global, highly interconnected industry, the new global financial system. So it's a very exciting time, and I'm very excited to be doing it with all of you. Looking forward for the year to come, and I think we have a lot of great things we can achieve together. So thank you very much.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? Yeah, I like Sergey. I think he really built something that's useful in the world. It's one of the reasons I really like Chainlink and why I've started including more Chainlink content on my channel, because they seem to have found real problems that they can offer solutions for. Like their Oracle network is outstanding, and the interoperability is something that's really important. I think it's one of the reasons why Algorand hasn't been doing as well as some of the other chains is because the interoperability layer isn't necessarily there. So yeah, big shout out to Chainlink. Good to see it pumping in up in price, which a lot of things have been. And I think that's it for Chainlink today. There's probably lots of stuff we could cover on all these. And I was kind of debating, I think we kind of ran out of time, but maybe we'll do this on Tuesday's live stream. We'll look at Charles Hoskinson leaving the ecosystem, or leaving X, I guess. He's not going to be publicly posting anymore, which I think is pretty interesting. I don't think we're going to get that to that today. I was thinking about watching this Genfinity video anyway from the gal from Grayscale. But maybe we'll save that for Tuesday also. We'll just call it a day. What do you think? I do kind of want to take a look really quick at the markets. Now, remember, we're going to be launching this as a podcast, too, so keep an eye out for that. But let's see what we got here. Let's have a look at. Yeah, it does look like Bitcoin fell back a little bit. It was 90,500, now 90,280-some. Render doing better. I guess we can share it, huh? By the way, big shout out to YCats in the chat. Thank you, St. John's on YouTube, being someone who's paying channel member, a top fan, or has sent a paid super chat. I know those all factor in. A number of comments also factors into that, I know. But as far as like what the exact formula is, I'm not 100% sure. Actually, we'll go to this one. Go back out. Yeah, so PayPay once again at the top, followed, and Shiba Inu is up there. I like I said, I have to check on my Shiba Inu bag because it might be doing pretty well. Was Dogecoin up there before? It's definitely up there now in the top 10. Philip Riley saying, Algo, what's up, Algo? Currently 25 up, so it's 12.59, so actually did go up a little bit. And Hedera is now over 12 cents. We should make that a little bit bigger, huh? There we go. A little bit more readable there. Yeah, there's Algorand at number 25 in terms of daily action. How about the 1 hour? What's in the last hour? XRP pumping back, getting close to $2 again. I do have to say, my XRP bag, I bought my average buy is like 53 cents, so getting close to a 4x. That's nice to see. Well, hold on, maybe about 4x, yep. 2x, 3x, 4x, yeah. And Kronos, haven't seen much about Kronos lately. Gate token, this is just the 24, this is just a 1 hour now we're looking at, and Midnight having a little bit of run, as well as Pegu. But yeah, that's where we're at. So, I don't know if the 7 day changed too much. Canton on top still, even though it's fallen back a little bit in the last hour, followed by PayPay, Story IP, Chili's, Toncoin, Pump Fund, Floki, Render, Polkadot, and Budgie Penguins. Philip says, hope you're well, frugal. Great content as always. I appreciate that, Philip. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it as always. And we had a pretty nice little audience today, especially with the holidays going on. So like I said, stay tuned for that podcast. I'm hoping to launch it tomorrow. And you can be able to listen to this on the go. I'm going to put the last couple of live streams on there and hopefully a couple of the interviews, or maybe I'll have some of those, trickle out. They say you should launch with 3, episodes. So we'll definitely do that. And, yeah, I think that's all I got for you guys. So, make sure to check out our sponsor. You can download the Haystack app by going to the link in the description below to help support the channel. Appreciate everyone who's done that so far, by the way. Big shout out to you guys. And to help support the channel, helps grow their ecosystem. And it's just a great project, helps support a great project on Algorand. So I appreciate that. If you haven't already hit the like button, it still helps. More likes are always better. So please hit that like button if you haven't already. Follow us on X. On the frugalbc.substack.com Substack. You can check that out, although I haven't been super active on that. I might be switching that over to Beehive just to keep it separate from my other Substack. So we'll be sharing the link for that when that happens. Otherwise, I think that's it, guys. Appreciate everyone being here. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the little, I would call it the New Year's Day rally or something like that. And otherwise,